Joe Smith time here on a Tuesday. Keith is here as well.
Good morning.
It feels like a Monday, but it's not a Monday, but it's Tuesday. But you're here, Smitty, and that's the good news.
Yeah. I got to keep reminding myself. I've been in capital letters here, T-U-E-S dot Tuesday.
There
How you doing, Keith?
You win the spelling bee, Joe.
Oh, thank you. How you been?
Great.
I haven't talked to you for a while.
Been a while.
Yeah. Since basketball season.
Yeah.
Now, it is the final day of May, so that means we just talked to Mark Fletcher about graduations and stuff happening, so we know the prep season, Joe, is starting to head towards their final destinations, which is obviously the state championships in and across the boards. Golf hasn't got their sectionals rolling yet, but you're going to give me an update on that. But we do know that South are sectional baseball champions, took care of their city rivals on Friday, and then last afternoon, a 3 o'clock start before the sun went down, the trophy went up into the air. Congratulations for back-to-back purple and white.
Well, they're in that winning mode again that championships are made of, like the one Phil Klusner's Panthers are in. Kind of reminiscent of last year's run to the 4A Final Four, successfully defending its sectional title on Memorial Day out of Cougar Field, beating Columbus East 5-1 to move on to the Evansville Regional Saturday, where they will defend there. 11 straight in its pockets, its longest on the books in 26 years, 15 of its last 16. A senior Nick Wright again pitched and hit the purple to its 20th win on Monday afternoon, a scoreless game and a pitcher's duel until the fourth when the Panthers broke out of it being a no-hit with a four-hit, four-run inning. More than enough for Wright, who notched another route-going effort, pitching a second sectional championship game victory, spacing six hits, striking out four, and getting his sixth win of the year. Nick also knocked in two, including an RBI single in the fourth and his eighth home run of the year that closed the door in the bottom of the fifth inning. Junior Tyler Van Pelt knocked in one with a hit in the fourth, and Kyle Root into the frame with a two-run single. The Panthers breaking things open with that four spot in the fourth, and Wright, who pitched and won last year's sectional championship game, worked out of a bases-loaded two-out situation with a strikeout in the sixth, and brought it home for the Panthers yesterday in the seventh, working out of a mild jam there. So South plays second-ranked Center Grove Saturday in one regional semifinal at Fossey Field in the Pocket City, number 9 New Albany, and Evansville-Harrison in the other semifinal. Back-to-back sectionals, first time in 26 years, now a regional to defend this weekend. Mentioning regionals, there is one to win tonight as Emily Kron's North Cougar softballers look to bring it home, looking to avenge a Conference Indiana Tourney 1-0 defeat earlier this month, playing the Flashes of Franklin Central on the Flashes home diamond again, game time at 7 o'clock. Franklin Central 21-5. The Cougars are 17-5. After winning its first sectional in 10 years prior to Memorial Day when they beat South 13-1 to win the Shelbyville Championship, Kenzie Ridge is 14-5 in the circle. She allowed South a run and struck out six in that title game last week. Kenzie, by the way, is just five punch-outs shy now of 200 this season. Very attainable, I might add, tonight. Freshman Emma Blackwell, who's been catching Ridge, shortstop Catherine Dunnigan, is hitting .323. Deb Jones has stepped in, yet another freshman, and she had an excellent sectional with six hits and three RBIs. The Cougs tonight conditioning themselves to continue on its revenge tour, and we wish them nothing but the best. The regional on the line against Franklin Central at Franklin Central at 7 o'clock. It's on to the Bedford Tennis Regional Saturday for three of Barr Mills Northsiders. The number one doubles team of Nicole Ortiz and Bailey Gardner are now 17-2 after winning the individual sectional doubles title in straight sets over Seymour, 6-4-3. They'll join now singles teammate Anna McCoy, who won the sectional crown last week, her 10th win of the year, when they play on Saturday down at BNL. So the state track and field championships all set. At Billy Hayes Track out on the IU campus at the Hall Complex, the South girls of Tom Stokes won their 11th straight regional last week. They'll go at 3 o'clock on Friday, and then the regional champion Panther Fellows of Larry Williams step onto the big stage after winning 5 individual events, qualifying a couple of relays. They take 7 total to the big show after winning the regional. By the way, we'll have Larry and his seniors on tonight as part of Sports Talk, along with, a third-team All-State guard, Tucker Blackwell, who is relishing a baseball sectional championship, but he's on Indiana All-Star as they began play against the junior team at the Holmes Court on June the 7th. We'll have AD J.R. Holmes along with us. We'll try to get some people in the stands for that game next week. And again, Tucker and J.R. making it a South Purple and White night tonight at Yogi, starting a little past 6. Do want to mention for the second time in 3 years, congrats out to the boys and girls. The Edgewood Unified Tracksters, they're going to the state meet on Saturday. The Mustangs finished behind Terre Haute North in the eight-team sectional. They finished second, the top two teams advancing to Saturday state meet for the Unified Kids at 1 o'clock out at the Hall Complex on the IU campus. And we have the sectional coming up out on the IU Champ Course, North, South, and Edgewood. Brown County's there as well. The Bloomington North Sectional, that'll start Friday at 8 a.m. over the IU course. This is the state tournament series for the golfers, paced, of course, by Bloomington South, who's fourth-ranked in the state. They'll commence play on Friday. Reds on the radio, they won 11-8 at Coors Field on Memorial Day, 8:30 pregame, as they continue the series out in Colorado against the Rockies tonight here on the radio.
The Lynn Loring Tennis Report, the French Open washed out on Monday. The Oklahoma City Thunder, Joe, washed out after a 3-1 lead. The Golden State Warriors come back, win Game 7 last night. Yeah. Steph Curry and Splash Thompson, they had 13 threes between them.
Yeah, and 17 to 37 on the night for those boys, Golden State. Wow.
Not bad, Joe. You're going to trade threes for twos. You better get us some twos. And Oklahoma City forgot to score, and away they went. So we'll get more on that, plus the Hoosier wrap-up of some track and field champions and other sporting news, the Indy 500, and et cetera. We'll get caught up with that at 8:45.
Sounds like a plan. We'll be here.
All right. We'll see you tonight. Sports Talk Live at Yogi, 6 to 7 here on WGCL. And Joe coming back at 8:45. All right, Joe Smith time exactly at 8:45. Gee whiz. We're even on time this morning, which is frightening in itself. Smitty, good morning. How are you?
I am fine. Good morning, Keith.
Good morning. Good morning.
I think the race, Joe, on the radio is for the race fan.
Yeah.
Because you get the radio has to tell you something. The TV shows you something, but the guys on radio are reporting the race. Mm. Television is presenting the race. Does that make sense?
Yeah, you know, Keith brought up a good point, you know, earlier. You know, he was saying that he, you know, got back out of the grocery store and was listening to the final, you know, the final 20 laps. And, you know, I watched it at home. But I had the radio on, and but I did watch, and we just talked about it, Glass. I got more. I wanted to see the pre-race stuff on TV.
Mm-hmm. The pomp and circumstance.
That you can only hear on the radio, but you can see on the TV, and obviously that leading up and the first and second lap, and then I muted it and listened to the radio.
Yes, because seeing it and doing the side-by-sides and the stuff like
right.
that. And then you got the sponsors, and then we do these backstories, and we do it. That's fine, because I understand you got 500 miles to kill here. This isn't a 30-minute presentation. I get all that. But I think on the radio, it's more gear-heady, and if you want to get into who's in the pits and why they wrecked and all that stuff, I think that's why we love
yeah.
it. And we hope, I guess we hope, because I'm – put more money in their pockets. Great. That's a great part. The race has gone on for the last 25 years in between 350,000 people crowds, and it will continue to go on for the foreseeable future. Alexander Rossi is the winner, Joe. It's I'm going to say this 3 more times because I don't believe it. This was his second oval course race. He had not seen the track ever until Easter weekend, and he barely had any gas left. And if that, I guess that's a great Hollywood story, but it would have been a more popular story if it was Kanaan or Castor Neves or Hunter Ray or Hinchcliffe or whoever you want to talk about.
Yeah, no question. But, you know, it was were there more lead changes and cautions. That was good. And
yes.
I guess when it was all said and done, and he was one of them who at one point was 33rd. I don't know at which time in the race that was, but a third of the starters led at some point in the race on Sunday.
Bizarre. And the Juan Pablo Montoya, last year's winner, crashes. Something broke coming out of three, hits into four. It happens. That's the
He got a pit penalty, and you know, he got sent to the rear and never recovered. And that was Simon Pagenaud.
Well, as I learned listening to the race on the radio, that Sage Karam had one of the fastest cars, and he was second car out.
Yeah.
He was flying, got tangled up with somebody into the wall, but his lap averages, he was plus 12 in the first 20 laps or so, 25 laps, so he was flying. And again, Joe, it's kind of like the Kentucky Derby. You throw 33 of them out there. We know that's been the traditional number, but some are 7-8 miles faster than the others, and you stretch those out around the track, and you need a little luck. You need a little good fortune. Yeah. You need to have your gas mileage worked out. What else do we see on the weekend that we need to learn about? Indiana IU's season has wrapped up. We know the Hoosiers baseball program had a chance to get out of jail last weekend, some track and field and some rowing to wrap up the IU season.
Well, you know, save one game, the bats never came around out in Omaha for Chris Lemonis's baseball Hoosiers, who left Omaha quite silently the Big Ten tournament over the holiday weekend, eventually won by Ohio State, who beat Iowa in the title game 8-7 on Sunday. The Hoosiers ousted 3-0 on Friday by Maryland. Indiana finished 32-21 on the year, but dropped 6 of its last 7, and the Hoosiers hit a paltry 208 over the course of the final 10 games, and certainly had no answer for Maryland righties Mike Schwerin and Brian Schaefer, who back-to-back in Indiana losses held Indiana to 6 for 59 at the plate. 101. 6 for 59, and Hoosiers struck out 24 times. Indiana mentioning pitching, they lose a lot of it as we look forward, including all three starters, Kyle Hart, Caleb Berger, Evan Bell, closers Thomas Belcher, and even former Panther Jake Kelser, who participated, if you'll recall, in Senior's Day out at the bar. Jake's a junior, but is expected to be drafted. MLB's amateur draft is June the 9th, by the way. In the recruiting realm of things, Perfect Game USA ranking Indiana. The recruiting class, the incoming class, at number 28 nationally. That's the highest among Big Ten programs. And IU's 13-man signing class, too, is full of pitching prospects. But Indiana was void of anyone making the all-tournament team. That said, the Buckeyes won their 9th Big Ten title, their first in 9 years, beating Iowa to earn the automatic bid into the NCAA tournament. 10 ACC teams made the 64-team field, and a record 4 Southeastern Conference teams among the tourney's top 8 national seeds, including number 1 Florida. Minnesota, the regular season Big Ten champ, and Nebraska join Ohio State as the Big Ten entries as we move forward on the road to Omaha. Again, Nebraska, one of the last 3 in. 2 teams enter the tournament with losing records, I might add, Western Michigan and Utah. Well, so much for baseball. We look forward next week to the NCAA Outdoor Track and Field Championships at Hayward Field out in Eugene. And starting on that day, the Hoosiers will have 5 there in Tracktown, USA. For the Outdoor Nationals, the group headed to Eugene include a returning contender, 4 first-time qualifiers, Laura Schroeder, Nikhil McClinton were the first to punch their tickets. The Hoosiers' dynamic hammer throw duo, Daniel Kuhn, qualified for his first NCAA Outdoor after running a couple of fine races in the 800 meters. Then we have a second consecutive trip for pole vaulter Sydney Klute, who cruised through the women's competition back on Friday night in the Jacksonville-based NCAA Regionals. And young Mike Morrison, only a freshman. He joined the field with the fourth furthest distance in the men's shot put. He had a career best there. So those are the quintet for Ron Helmer out in Eugene, making their third straight trip to the NCAA. Steve Peterson's Indiana Rowers, how'd they do? They wound up 15th in the team standings after the final races were said and done out on the Gold River in Sacramento, California. Top finish was produced by the First Varsity 4 crew, coxswain Leah Jade Hughes, along with stroker Sienna Patty, 3-seed Sierra Christensen, 2-seeder Katie Dreesen, and the bow handled by Caitlin Blessinger. They closed the weekend with a sixth-place showing in the petite final to take 12th place. That was the best effort in the finals on that day on the Gold River. Well, we have sports talk tonight at 6. Indiana basketball all-star Tucker Blackwell, his high school head coach, J.R. Holmes. They have a game June 7th, the Indiana All-Stars, against the junior All-Stars. And also, boys veteran track and field coach Larry Williams and his seniors headed to the state at Billy Hayes this weekend will be our guest. We'll start a little past 6. Reds on the radio, game 2 of their series out at Coors Field in Colorado tonight. The pregame will start at 8:30.
Yeah, and a tough one for IU baseball, Joe. No bats, and sadly,
I really didn't see that coming. It's easy to say now and conjecture this, and you know, if and buts and candy and nuts, but you know, I didn't. You know,
can't have two hits every game and expect
to
win.
Yeah, I just I thought once they beat Nebraska, had the 12 hits, they maybe could make a run to the title game, but they had nothing.
And they got
nothing to offer Brian Schaefer when they were ousted on whatever day that was, Friday.
And they had the bracket open up for them, too.
They had everything going their way, the way the top seeds were falling, the being a home team. I mean, you know, everything was set in motion, except they just couldn't hit.
And they do it on reputation. You got to stand up and perform. Sad news, Sam Travis out for the year. Torn
I heard
ACL.
You mention that. Boy, that's a blow. He was ripping the cover off the ball at AAA, I know.
He was moving in the right direction and hitting
playing for who? Pawtucket?
Pawtucket.
The Red Sox, AAA farm.
So he's done for the year, along with Kyle Schwarber. So that's
unbelievable.
Grossly unlucky for all of them. Warriors beat the Oklahoma City Thunder last night to win the Western Conference Finals, winning 4-3. The Warriors trailed 3-1 after being blown out twice and had to win a Game 5 and a Game 6 to even get to Game 7. Did so. The three-point shot returned after taking a few games off. And
I'll say it did.
The Warriors only scored 96 points last night. If you'd have told me that was going to be their final score, I'd have thought.
And they hit 17 triples and scored 96.
They did.
That's what made
they
it.
They did. And wow. The run they put together in the second quarter into the third, outscoring Oklahoma City 32-5 or whatever it was ridiculous. 32-13. It wasn't close.
Yeah, the
wasn't
third
close.
Quarter was the blood. You know, they outscored them by 17.
Three started falling. Oklahoma City started chucking, and it didn't work itself out. All right, Joe, great stuff. We'll see you tonight live at
Yogi's. All righty, looking forward to it.
Take care, Joe.
South
All righty, Keith. Have a great week, my friend.
Joe Smith, Tuesday morning. That sounds weird. Live on the radio. Thanks, pal. Appreciate it.
All righty.
See you tonight. Joe Smith.